Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. Welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host, Amy Toy, and I have a very interesting guest today. She is going to talk about one of these topics that are near and dear to my heart, which is dream interpretation, and her name is Clementina Maria Giovannetti. She's a national best-selling author, an acknowledged authority on dream interpretation in all spiritual matters, a spiritual maverick, spiritual mentor, gifted healer, and TV host of Spiritual Wisdom TV, and for nearly 40 years, Clementina has graced the airways nationwide with her extraordinary gift of sight and profound wisdom about all spiritual matters. Clementina is an author of Jesus and a Spiritual Centurion, a past life memoir, the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams and miracles, and a prophetic message from an angel. Welcome, Clementina. How are you today?
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I love this book you have. It's called, the best is called, I could talk today. I'll be okay.
the best-selling guide
to spiritual,
yeah,
interpretations of your dreams.
No problem.
Yes, my mouth is, it's like my mind wants to go faster than my mouth.
Faster than what your human body is doing. Yeah,
yes!
Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. That's, you know, I mean, your soul is excited. What can I say? You know?
That is very true. So, you talk about lucid dreaming, and how important is it for the dreamer to not only learn how to enter into a lucid state while dreaming, but ultimately to choose the final outcome of their dreams? People don't know how to do that, by the way. I do, but some people don't.
Most people don't. And most people, Amy, don't even remember their dreams, right? Let alone enter into a conscious, awakened state so that they're sound asleep, you know, their form goes to sleep, and then they enter within the dream state. And most of the time, people are actually entering into an astral projection, an out-of-body state as well.
Right.
And the lucid dreaming is about able to hold on to that awakened consciousness. So you basically are making a seamless transition from the third dimension, the physical frequency, the form, the human form. You allow your body to go to sleep, and then you gently slip through out of that body, out of that form, and enter within the spiritual realm, fully awakened, fully aware of everything that is taking place, so that you have acknowledgement of your soul consciousness, your spiritual self, and realize that you're not your body. You are, in fact, a soul, your spiritual being. And now you're in what I would refer to the real world. And at that point, whatever is occurring, whatever experience you may have, it's so important to be aware and to be in control so that you can choose the final outcome. Because whatever you do choose, Amy, in that spiritual realm will ultimately manifest in what I refer to as the dream world, in the physical dimension. Our physical world only is like a mirror. It mirrors whatever choices and decisions and outcomes we choose in the spiritual realm. And I really believe that we are fully awakened and alive, actually, when we're asleep. And we're asleep most of the time and very robotic when we are awakened in our physical dimension.
Yeah, is that why I'm tired at night, you know, when I wake up in the morning?
When you wake up.
Yeah, I'm like, supposed to be sleeping, this restful sleep, and I'm tired when I'm waking up. It's probably because I have these weird, wacky dreams.
The body is nothing more than like a machine. And it does have an expiration date, and it needs rest. However, the soul or the consciousness that we are, that's nonstop. That just continues. It's always active, and it's multidimensional. So, yes, temporarily, it will express itself and experience life through its physical form when it, in fact, you know, during the waking hours, right, for about 10, 12 hours during the day. But when the body is able to go to sleep and it rests, and we leave our bodies and go into the dream world in the astral planes, that consciousness is still active. And it's continually basically reevaluating, you know, reexamining what, in fact, their experiences were on Earth that day. And if there's any fears, intimidations, people that are trying to impose their will on you, control, domination. So it's a balancing act, you know. The soul is so important during that state because it has to be made aware of what's happening to you when you're incarnated again, embedded in that human body. And then you have a personality also to deal with as well. And you don't want to lose control of your awareness, of your consciousness, just because you've taken human form. So it's okay to be tired, and that's normal, because anyone who's really, like, awakened, spiritually awakened, you know, it's like a double life. You've got your life through your personality and your human form, and you're in the matrix, and then you leave your body and you leave that reality and go into other dimensions. Yeah, it's a lot to take in. It really is. And when you awaken, it's not surprising. You're like, oh, my God, I just wanted to go to sleep. I just wanted to, you know, but there is no rest. Not for the consciousness. The consciousness is always aware and awakened and always working.
Yes, it is. And sometimes I'm like, why do I even go to sleep at all when I'm not refreshed?
Yeah, but you're not going to sleep. Your body's going to sleep.
I know, but still.
You're like, yeah, but I want to go to sleep. So even if you decided to take, you know, an extra dose of Valium or whatever, you know, your drug of choice may be, or a glass of wine or whatever like that, your body will reap the benefits or the rewards of that in sleep, but your consciousness is still going to be wide awake.
Right.
There's nothing really you can do unless you go into a meditative state, you know, a prayerful type of state, and you quiet down and bring your mind to almost a stillness. But when you go to bed at night, that's really where the work begins. That's really when you live, is when you leave your body and enter into that dream state. Because there's just so much to take in, integrate, understand. You know, there's just so much. Because you're having, you know, this is a soul now, incarnated in a human body, having an earthly experience, you know, as they say. And, yeah, that's a lot to take in, a lot of information, and to figure out what you're going to do next when you get back into your body the following morning.
Yes,
there's challenges down here for a soul. This is not an easy maze or matrix to get through. No.
No, and my guides call it downloads. So, like, we got some new information and new stuff for you. I'm like, really? Do I smack you guys now or when I die and I'll come over there and I'll beat you guys?
Yeah. We all have they. We all have the group.
Spiritual posse.
Yeah, you know, the posse, right, that we can't seem to, like, shake off, you know, and, like, they follow us everywhere. And, yeah, downloading. I mean, even I'm a walker, so I go into the woods every day, and I do anywhere from 3 to 5 miles, and I just go into the woods and talk about downloading. Oh, my God. And it's like board meetings, you know, corporation meetings, you know. Okay, then do this. Okay, make sure you do that. Okay, make sure you call this. Okay. So, there, you know, and I don't need a cell phone, you know. because I've got all these other people talking to me all day long, telling me basically what to do. Yeah. So, but that's what occurs when you are an awakened soul, an evolved soul, and you reincarnate not to end up becoming one of the robotic Stepford wives, but in fact, you know, it's a job. I mean, you're here to awaken people, and you're here to heal people and to help them to remember, you know, what they forgot. And so, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that they're concerned about. And I know I wake up every day and it's like I report to duty. Okay, what do I need to do today?
Yeah. You talked about the board meeting. I called the council, and I remember I started remembering this, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Going before the council, it was like I was in college and I was the lecturer in the, you know, the professor of the lecturing hall, and I had all these myriads of rows of, you know, elders. And they would be like, you're coming before us for, you know, and I'm like, why? What do I have to do now? Why?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because when you know, I've just celebrated my 63rd birthday.
Oh.
And I went public when I was 17 years of age with my spiritual gifts and abilities. And Amy, I could remember women coming in through my private practice and you know, they'd step into the office and they'd be really, you know, kind of like looking both ways, like, oh, yeah, I hope nobody really sees, you know, that I've come in to see Clementina, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, this was back in the 70s. And then they'd come in and, you know, they would say, you know, last night, you know, I don't know why this happened, but, you know, all of a sudden, like, I saw my mom and my dad, you know, but they died, you know, like 20 years ago. And, like, we were talking. You know, and we were actually eating, you know, like nothing happened, like they weren't dead. And they were like so taken by this, you know, and it felt so real, Clementina. I don't understand this. And I'm like,
right.
Well, you had an out-of-body experience.
Uh-huh.
And they look at me, you know, uh-huh. Back in the 70s, like, what? And I'm like, well, yeah, you're multidimensional, you know, your soul, yeah, you can leave your body at will or unconscious, uh-huh. You know. And they just couldn't wrap their minds around it, to take it literally to think, I leave my body? Yeah, every night.
Uh-huh.
Everybody
uh-huh.
does. And you're kind of like temporarily dead, but you're going to come back. Like that's all death is. Like that's not real. It's just a myth. Like nobody dies. The conscious, you're just transitioning. You're just leaving your body permanently, but you're still alive. And you're just still expressing yourself and experiencing things on a different dimension. So at nighttime, you know, that kind of really fills the gap when you really love someone and you miss someone. And then all of a sudden you find yourself with loved ones who have passed on and they love the moment. But then when it dawns on them and they think about it, right, when they come back to their physical human conscious state, that's where they get really confused and perplexed because they just kind of like have forced themselves to deny who they really are and what they really are. Mm-hmm. You know, the Matrix has worked so hard to get them to basically sever their own spiritual awareness of themselves and their origin. And, of course, then the dream world just falls bottoms out. It's like there's no – I couldn't believe it when I was a little kid, and the dream world was so important to me. And growing up, I mean, it was my saving grace. I would have lost my mind down here in this lifetime if there wasn't the portal of dreams and out-of-body experiences. And it was just like, oh, I could finally be free, and I could fly, and I could, you know, and I don't have to have all these limitations and restrictions and boundaries and just fear that they were trying to just program into me. And long and behold, you go to school. I'm waiting and waiting, Amy, for some teacher to bring up, you know, the class, right, about dream interpretation or out-of-body or life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Never came up. Not in elementary, high school, never. And it's still not in our school system today. It's like a taboo subject matter. And they really want people to just forget about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no importance to dreams. You know, why should I even remember my dreams? You know, they're just dreams, right?
Right.
So I'm continually, for 60-some years, I have to keep on educating. And yeah. No, there's more to it than what you're even thinking. It's not just because, you know, you had too much pizza last night, right? And you have a dream. So here we go. So thank you for your platform.
Yes, because that's one of my lifelong, one of my dharmas, I guess. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about how people can't recall their dreams. What are some tips that you can give people to help them remember their dreams?
One of the best ones that I have discovered, you know, and it's in the old days, everybody used to say, well, should I keep a journal? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Keep a journal. Mm-hmm. But the problem with keeping a journal is the way you journal. Mm-hmm. So you're sound asleep, you're having your nightly vision, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's almost like you're transitioning through the frequencies, through the dimensions. And you're going from a different sphere back down to the third dimension, back into your physical form again. And you're aware now of your body, right? And you're about to open up your eyes. Don't open up your eyes. That's the worst thing that you can do. If, in fact, you want to bring back with you into the third dimension what, in fact, you just experienced or saw or heard or communicated on the other planes. So once you open up your human eyes and your human eyes make contact with the light of this frequency, so it's sunlight coming into you, piercing into your eyes, or artificial light from a lamp, it's like a disconnect. It's like literally you've disconnected the phone line. That's it. And it's very, very hard. It's severed, and you got fragments then of that connection that you had from the other dimensions. So the best thing that I found is keep your eyes closed, and if you have a voice-activated recorder, or if your phone can do this, your smartphone can do this, have something that's voice-activated. Have it by your bedside. Keep your human eyes closed and stay as much as you can in that other dimension. And then start talking verbally, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're hearing. But you got to keep those eyes closed, because once your human eyes make contact with this dimension, it's a disconnect. You've just severed your connection with the astral plane, with the higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's why people can't bring it back, because it's such a quick severing, you know, connection. And then it's kind of like a crash landing, like a lot of people will have crash landings in their body also, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, choo-choom, like an elevator just dropped down. Some people even fall out of bed, you know. they're not good, you know, like they can fly, but they're good in getting out of their body, but they're not good getting back into their body at all. Yeah.
I've done that, actually. I used to, back in the day, a long time ago, a galaxy far, far away, I would wake up on the floor, and I'm like...
Yeah, I wake up on the floor, right?
You know, and I'd be like, okay, why am I... I went to bed last night, I remember doing that, but now I'm on the floor.
You're trying to retrace, right? And you knew something was going really well, like there was a moment like... Something felt good. I thought I was enjoying myself. And then all of a sudden, crash, and you're on the floor, not even in the bed anymore, and like, what?
Yeah. It, you know.
But see, that goes back to what you first said. Your soul, your consciousness, your actual soul consciousness vibrates at such a fast frequency. And you know that. People that are more evolved and higher frequencies or more closer to the light, you know, the frequency is fast, very, very fast. And then when you come back to the third dimension, it's slow and sluggish and like a snail and muddy. So when you're making that transition from the higher frequency, especially when you go into the astral planes, and you come back in your body, you know, if you're coming in with that kind of fortitude and speed, Amy... I mean, no, you got to adjust, you know, throw down your, you know, your throttle's got to, you know, pace itself a little bit more so that you can match up, right? It's just a natural flow of frequency. Come on down a little bit. And I know we don't like to come down, those of us that are just accustomed to a faster, higher frequency. But in order for our consciousness to properly and without damage, okay, of reentry, to take form again, okay, to enter back into our physical forms again, you know, we have to make that conscious adjustment. Consciously, we have to be aware. You know, it's just like a plane, right? When they're up in the altitude, 30, 40,000 feet, you know, they can go however fast they want to go. But try doing that speed, right, when you're trying to land in an airport. Ain't going to work. So it's the same thing for us. It's like, okay, you know, we're coming back to form again, you know, and it's a very slow, dense frequency. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago. That was after my last near-death experience, and I have not crash-landed since. it was interesting. I'd be like, what the heck? And so talking about how people, you know, they fly in their dreams and that, why do you feel people don't realize they're actually having an out-of-body experience?
Well, I can tell you back from when I started in the 50s and 60s, there was no talk shows like this, mm-hmm. number one. And even though I began my talk show work in the 70s, and that's why I got the label, you know, a spiritual maverick, because back in the 70s, imagine back in the 70s, I was talking about out-of-body experiences and that people didn't die. And, you know, they really didn't quite know what to do with me. But the interesting thing was is that everybody that was calling in on the shows back then were having out-of-body experiences. But again, like I brought up earlier, it's just not on the academics, you know, at all.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's doing it, Amy, but nobody's talking about it. And unless there's some form of authority, you know, like the school or religion that recognizes it, you know, first it has to be recognized as the norm and acceptable, right? And then they have to be given permission that it's okay to do this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the Matrix doesn't support truth, and it doesn't support our divine origin, you know, and where we come from. So it wants really, it's intentionally helping people and pushing people to basically forget, to go into this spiritual amnesia, you know, and say, no, you're this, you know, you're white teeth, you know, and you're Botox and muscles that don't move, you know. So it's just like they've got them so inside out, they've really flipped them, you know, and making them believe all these things that they're not. They're their bodies. They're their personalities. And nobody ever talks and validates anyone's soul's consciousness on their spiritual abilities. So they're doing it, thank God. You know, that's one thing the Matrix can do and religions and academics can do and say whatever they want. And they can call this whatever they want. But at the end of the day, the soul is still the soul. And it's still going to function, you know, at least at night when the personality goes to sleep. It's still going to function and be its true, authentic self. And that's something that no man-made powers or artificial reality is going to ever be able to keep from people. So their dreams are really the rescue. I mean, it's their saving grace because it allows them to be reminded, you know, through their own experiences, not mine, not yours, but through their own experiences, you know. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is step forward and go, what was that, you know, that I did last night? And then have an open mind, you know. And then we help them to remember that, you can leave your body, you know. And you didn't have to go to a school to learn how to do that, and you didn't have to read books to learn how to do that. It's a natural function within you. It just happens automatically.
Yes, it does. I remember when I had out-of-body experiences when Shirley MacLaine came out with Out on a Limb, and I read her book, and I was, I was an early teen, like 13, 14, and I remember just automatically, it's like I can read something and I remember and I can just practice it. That's one of the things I've learned, and my mother would be like, so this is a funny story. So I went above the house where I was, you know, I was a teenager, and I'm looking, and I said, Mom, I think we need a new roof. And my mother, I come down, I'm like, Mom, you should see the roof. She she thought I had three heads or something. Did you know they went up there and they had to put a new roof on because there was holes in the roof? Because
of course.
And my mother's like, how do I tell your father this? my dad wasn't open to this stuff. But my mother was, because my great grandmother was, you know, very intuitive and very empathic and a healer. And my mother's like, how do I tell? I said, I don't know, just tell him you know, go in the attic. And I don't know why I said it. I said, go in the attic, there's a big hole. And she went in the attic, and that's how she told my dad.
And there it was.
There it was.
Yeah.
But I remember that, and ever since then, I've been able to do out-of-body. I used to check on ex-boyfriends. I used to just go and check them out and see if they were cheating on me. I mean, there's different things that you can learn to do, because people are like, oh, astral travel, out-of-body experiences, they're so hard. No, they're not.
No. It's just like breathing. I mean, like, we don't think about our breathing. We're not making ourselves breathing. We're not even conscious of our breathing. And that's how effortless and natural having an out-of-body experience is. It's like anything else, Amy, in life, it's fear. Mm-hmm. And people just, you know, limit themselves and restrict themselves because of their fears. You know, they hold themselves back in the physical dimension, and they block themselves psychically, intuitively, you know, also because of fears and taboos. You know, I was raised in a Roman Catholic family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had, and that's in the book that just got released in November, Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a Past Life Memoir. So in 2,000 years ago, I incarnated in a man's body and was asleep initially. I was not aware of my soul consciousness at all. And I fell right into the matrix and joined the military at 17 years of age and ultimately became a Roman centurion. And then it was during the time when the child Jesus was, in fact, incarnated. He wasn't even 2 years old at the time. And Herod was a crazy man. He was a madman. And he had put so many people to death, even including his own two sons and his wife. Anybody who he believed was a threat to his power, you know, that was it. He just had him put to death. So he was really freaking out about this little child named Jesus and all the rumors that were being said about him and what he was to become and so forth like that. So I was given the military assignment to find him. And I did find him. And I captured that whole entire moment of what occurred when I actually was exposed to his consciousness and his energetic frequency. And I give that moment the credit for why I am awakened in this lifetime and why I'm able to do the things that I'm allowed to do in this lifetime as well. He downloaded in me, and he seeded in me, he embedded in me his consciousness over 2,000 years ago. But when I started the story, I started it in this lifetime, and I was, you know, a little girl. Mom and dad were like, oh, a girl, and I was considered worthless. And there was physical abuse, sexual abuse by my father and my grandfather. I mean, I was just whatever. They could do whatever they wanted to do to me. And there was no accountability. When I shared my occurrences with them, my out-of-body experiences, my ability to communicate with loved ones who had passed on, my angelic encounters, you know, I waddle up to the kitchen table, you know, 4 or 5 years old, and I would say, what did you do last night? Right, thinking that mom and dad were doing the same thing. And they were even getting better, you know, assignments than I was from the angels. And then, long and behold, you know, the looks on their face and basically their reaction to their child, their awakened child, was, we're going to beat it out of you. You know, whatever this it is in you that makes you so different, that frightens us, scares us, we're going to beat it out of you. My mother's reaction was, we're taking her to the priest, Andy, and she's going to go through exorcism because she's possessed by the devil. So, you know, like I said, I just celebrated my 63rd birthday. They transitioned many years ago. But, you know, it's been a long journey as an awakened soul, you know, and having had the incredible moment with this little child named Jesus, and that he shared and embedded me and downloaded within me his consciousness. What can I say, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are moments you don't forget. and then you come back and you reincarnate again, and that you know, I mean, it's like a soul's passion. You want to awaken other people. You want to help them to remember who and what they really are, so that they can, they themselves can let go of the illusions and the bondage, the enslavement, the limitations, the restrictions, you know, that the Matrix has put on them. Because they're not even tapping into their full potential.
No.
They're not. It's
no,
so
not.
Sad.
It is.
You know,
it is.
What souls, you know, have become. I mean, there's so much. The potential is there. And they're divine beings. And then they incarnate. And it's like they forget everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they compromise. And they allow themselves to just be enslaved to all of these illusions. It just, and they work and they chase after it day after day after day. And then they wonder why they're starving to death, you know, why they've got this void, this hole in their chest, right? Because none of these artificial realities are ever going to fill their soul. It's never going to satisfy their soul. You know, it might feel good temporarily for a moment. They might get a high, something off of their body or their personality, but their soul is going to be, and what about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might have turned you on, but it didn't turn me on.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's at such a different frequency, the soul knows when something is real and not artificially made, you know, substitutes for the real thing. So the dream world is so vital for people if they just would pay attention to what's going on at night. This would help them so much to see themselves again for who and what they really are. And then, like you said, use it as a tool, as a portal, to really get clarity on the intentions of other people that are in your immediate circle, right? Because they can't lie. They can't hide in the so-called dream world. It's
right.
Like they're naked. You're going to see what they're really up to. You know, one of the things that came up a couple weeks ago, one of my clients, female, and, you know, she had met somebody and so forth, and, you know, and she wanted to take things slow and, you know, didn't want to have a sexual relationship or anything. And, you know, she liked him. She thought he was nice, you know, all that. All by human stuff, right? But I'm like, did you read his soul? And so, long and behold, she goes to sleep one night, and guess who shows up in her bedroom, Amy? Yeah.
Him.
In the astral plane, right? And what does he do? He raped her.
Oh, no.
And she woke up, and she was so violated and just terrified because she kept on saying, but he raped me, and it felt so real. I go, he did rape you. What is the difference between the physical? This is the real world, okay? And I said, you need to have a face-to-face with this gentleman, and you need to own it. Okay, your soul, your higher consciousness was allowing you to really see the intention of this man. And you need to, and it's a wake-up call. You got to pull all the blessings from this now for yourself. Like, don't ever deny your visions anymore. Don't deny what your soul is trying to show you through your dreams. And you need to have a face-to-face with this man and go, you know, I know what you did to me last night. And I said no, and no means no. On any dimension, you know? And you think, was he consciously aware? Like, did he wake up and go, yeah, I got that, you know, girl?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they consciously remember it in the morning or how did he even know how to do that. The point is, he did it. That's all that matters. He crossed the line. He found a way how to do it. So we need to be aware because there's so many things going on in the astral plane that do reveal the true intentions of people, and it would give us such profound clarity. And we wouldn't have to sit there over and over and repeat the same mistakes, right, and find ourselves once again as a victim. You know, say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, but I'm sure your dreams were telling you.
Yeah.
But if you ignore the messages, right, and go, is this a dream? Well, then... Right? What can you do?
Exactly. And a lot of people have those experiences, and I get a lot of those from my clients as well. And they're like, oh my God, he did this or she did that. And I'm like, well, pay attention. You got warned. So anyway, let's talk about that. People having a deja vu experience. What is deja vu, and how can it help our clients from the dream world into the physical reality, you think?
I think the most perplexing aspect of deja vus for people is most of the time a deja vu will occur in the conscious awake state when they're distracted. You know, they're washing dishes, they're taking a walk, they're taking a shower, you know, where they're kind of quiet, you know, and they're not really busy, you know, in the physical world. And yet they're like, wait a minute, this is so familiar, right, of an experience. Some, you know, with not the shower or the washing the dishes, but what at that moment, right, that they're like, it's like a flashback that they're happening. And that's what it is. It's really a part of time travel, that everything occurs first in the spiritual plane, in the astral planes, and eventually it will manifest in the physical. It will manifest in the third dimension. And people are really confused. They're like, well, how can that happen first someplace else? You know, like I'm lost, I'm confused about that before it happens here. Because they view this, the third frequency, the third dimension, as the only frequency. Like this is where everything will happen. But it does happen in the other planes first, and then it will gradually manifest down. And then when that merges or is about to merge, you have that synchronicity. And it's like, oh, I've done this before. But when? How? How could I have done this before? Because I just did it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot lately. It's like, I thought I did it.
No doubt, again, because you're like that, you know. That Roadrunner guy. And you're going through the astral plane so fast and doing this and doing that. You know, you got your bucket list, right, to get done. You don't have time to remember what you just got done because you're, you know, you got stuff to do. And then when you come back into form, I'm sure all of a sudden it's a major download for you.
It is. It's,
that kind of describes you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And my guys are like, you should really
Really? Yeah, you're catching up with everything that you were bouncing off the spirit walls to get done. And then when it actually comes into this frequency, you're like, oh, I forgot about that. You know, like I did that how many nights ago? Like, oh, now it's here? Oh, okay.
Thank God.
Oh, you're a lot of fun to live with, I bet.
That's why it's me and the cats right now.
Yeah, that's why it's me and my golden retriever. Yeah. They tried, Amy, but, you know, I'm sorry. I graduated cum laude from spirituality, you know, and I've got this down. But as far as human relationships, nope, that's okay.
That's
no,
I
tried a few husbands. Nope, ain't going to work. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no,
because
no.
My activity, yeah, my bedroom at night, and I got visitations all day long. You know, I've got dead people coming in my bedroom, angels coming in my bedroom, Jesus will stop by and visit, you know. I'm pretty busy in my bedroom. And, you know, my ex-husband was kind of like, what the?
Yeah,
and he actually got jealous. He actually one night, this was prior to the divorce, you know, he's like, make up your mind. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't think these people weren't in my bedroom before I met you? You're just a human. You know, you're just the guy that looks great in blue jeans, you know? I thought I'd bring home one day. That's about it.
I know. I told the guys, I said, you know what, we're taking a sabbatical from dating this year because I just want to focus on me. And they're like, it's about damn time.
I mean, really? You know, and I've always chose my soul and my soul's evolution, you know, over sex or anything. You know, it's like, because it just doesn't, like the human interaction just isn't enough, you know, for me at all. I mean, I really just don't get anything out of it. And the drama and all the mind games and, you know, just all the things that those dynamics from the old patriarchal paradigm, you know, are all about. I mean, if you want that, all you got to do is turn on TV. You know, plenty of drama. I don't need to live with it and legally marry it, you know, to have that in my life. So, you know, yeah. And now, you know, I've been working just continually nonstop in my evolution that I look around and it's like, yeah, the only thing I got, you know, the only guys I can hang out with are the ones that don't have bodies. You know?
They're safer too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the board, the elders, and, you know, the apostles, and Jesus, and those guys, and Michael the Archangel. I mean, these are the guys I hang out with, you know, and at least we have something in common, right? And we can talk the same language, and they're not worried, you know, if or not my, you know, my breasts are perky enough. Or, you know.
If everything's sagging down on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, they don't care about that stuff. You know, they're looking at my frequency to make sure my frequency is still there and I'm holding the light, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, so it's such a different, you know, paradigm completely. And I'm spoiled. You know, I am spoiled. And, you know, my soul friends, my soul brothers and sisters and associates, my family, you know, they keep me busy. That I don't feel like I'm missing out, you know, on an earth relationship or human relationship, and because it's like, really? I mean, like, I look at them and I kind of just read them over and I'm like, oh, okay, you know? What are you going to do with them? What are you going to talk to them about?
Exactly. And, you know, you get to a point, too, where I'm like, all right, I'm you know, I'm at that age where it's like, you know, right now I just like my own space. Me and the cats hang out, you know, Max the Maine Coon, I told him we're dating each other, he's an easy guy, he just hangs out on the couch with me, and we cuddle. That's it. He doesn't demand a lot out of me.
Well, my golden, I mean, I've been a golden girl all my life, and they are so evolved. I mean, their frequencies are amazing. They're such precious, precious souls who occupy these golden retriever forms. And, you know, they're just there. I mean, it's an effortless, you know, drama-free, unconditional, high-frequency relationship, you know.
Yep.
And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, if I was stuck on an island and they said, this guy looks great in blue jeans, you know, got $1 million, a Rolex, you know, whatever, or this golden. Are you kidding me? The golden, of course.
Max the Maine Coon. I mean, he's a big boy, but he's hanging out now, just snoring away. That's my kind of guy. And
and you know, they evolve too. You know, they reincarnate to the souls of our beloved companions. You know, and they learn from us, and we learn from them, and they heal us. You know. They're just amazing souls. They really are. And I don't like the word animal, you know.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. Because they're so evolved.
They've really reached
a very high frequency and attained love. I mean, they know love. They got it. They got that down. So they could teach humans a lot, you know.
Oh,
they really can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I love Max the Maine Coon. He's my buddy, and he's snoring away. You know. Anyway, let's get back to some of the questions. Can you share some examples? Nightmares, night terrors, and also alien contacts. I haven't really gotten into the alien stuff, but I've heard through some of my clients who've had this. There's paralysis. Can you explain why that's so important for some of us to know about that?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I know it's kind of a, do we want to go there area? Should we go there area? And I'm like, yes, let's go there.
Let's go there, yeah.
Because it's just one of those taboo areas, again, that people, you know, just because you say let's not talk about it or we shouldn't talk about it, it doesn't mean it's not occurring. Right? So it's really important to have an open discussion about this and help our listening audience and our clients understand. Because if they don't really consciously get it, you know, if it's just kind of like a phobia, like the boogeyman in the closet, then they've already lost the leverage and control over the situation. So you need to be aware that, yes, there are other consciousnesses, right, that are incarnated in forms that we call alien. Okay, so you got your grays. We'll just stick with the grays. But there are many different forms of aliens. And the Grays seem to really have a very, you know, just accelerated interest in the human consciousness. And okay. they're here on our planet all day long. I mean, the crafts are, all you got to do is look out at night and they're there. Unfortunately, they're like the encounters that I've had, and I've had many, many encounters with them, and they've materialized in my room, in my office. You know, they find me interesting. Figure that. I mean, they watch me, and they study me. But prior to that, you know, they try to abduct me. Well, that didn't go very well for them. They're like children, and they're very curious, and they want to know. It's like exploratory, you know, like you take a child and you give him a little science thing, and he's sitting there with his little, you know, chemist thing, and he's like, oh, well, if I put this together and I put this together, let's see what happens. So the gray aliens are like that, and some don't have nice intentions. Some are just innocent. They don't really know what they're doing, and they're exploring. But they do have the ability of mind control. And they're able to put people in a hypnotic trance. And in that hypnotic trance, the human totally loses conscious control. And they go into a paralysis. And they're unable to move. They're unable to speak. And the aliens are able to transmute their energy so that they are basically in a different frequency, a faster frequency. And they're able to go through walls. They're able to go through windows. They're able to go through doors. And many times they will actually take them aboard onto their alien crafts. And they're just doing research, okay? Mm-hmm. So my deal is this. I get it. I'm not judging them. You know, they're another creation. They're another conscious, different form, live on a different planet. That's fine. They want to come to Earth. That's fine. But I don't care what form you take, where your origin is. I don't care if you're from Italy, Chicago, or planet whatever, Pluto, you don't come into my bedroom, right?
Exactly.
And you don't take control over me. I'm a mm-hmm. control freak, you know? Mm-hmm. And unless I'm consciously willing and saying, oh, yeah, sure, let's try it. I'm up, you know, everything once. Let me experience it. Okay. But most people are not in that state. They're literally traumatized. They go into shock. And they don't know what's happening to them. And the alien has full control, literally, of their body, their consciousness, everything. And then when they're done, they're able to embed them. It's almost like a hypnotic suggestion. You won't remember any of this. We're going to bring you back, but you're not going to remember any of this. I take this very personal, and I think it's a violation. I do. I don't believe that any buddy, the guy who was sexually aggressive and wanted to just come in and rape my client, okay, because she was saying no on the physical frequency, and he comes through the astral plane, he does that. Or if it's a gray alien and he comes in your bedroom and he says, you know, you look like somebody I want to explore more. No. So we need to, again, wake up. We need to realize we're multidimensional and there are other beings also, right, that can come into our sandbox, so to say, at night. And we need to be able to go back to that lucidness, to be aware that many different forms and consciousnesses can enter into, okay, our room or our astral plane at night. And unless we are aware of them and also aware of ourself, our I am state, and know that we have free will, free choice, and we say, no, no. You know, you want to talk to me? And that's what I've done with the Grays. I'm like, look. Well, there ain't no abduction that's going to happen here tonight. It ain't going to happen. If anybody's going to be abducted, I'm abducting you, okay? You know,
yeah.
You want an Earth experience? I'll give you one, okay? All right, so you're on my planet now. You know, you're in my neighborhood now, okay? And ain't going to happen here, okay? And don't challenge this, because you're going to see, yes, this human, the abilities that I have. So I know you don't know, but I'm about to show you. So, but you just have got to take control of your experiences, regardless of what the source is or the body or form that it comes in. And I don't like when people worship and praise aliens. You know, that really bothers me. you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're advanced in technical stuff. They're mm-hmm. geniuses when it comes to technology, and most of our technology is from them. But mm-hmm. it's like, but, you know, emotionally, they're shut down. They don't even have mm-hmm. emotions. I remember one time, Amy, I was doing a healing. I was laying hands on someone, and it was really intense, and I was crying and crying. And there were some grays in the room, and they were watching. And one of them came up to me. By this time, you know, we were kind of friends, right, because the ground rules were set, you know. And they literally, he took his little finger, and he was trying to touch my tears that were rolling down my face. And he was so puzzled. He's like, what is this, you know? And I'm like, these are tears. I'm crying. And he just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? Because they don't have emotions like we do in human form.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're new to them, you know, and they're curious. No different than when we look at birds or we go to the zoo or we even sit at a park bench and look at other people and we people watch. Well, they people watch.
Uh-huh.
And they're watching us.
Uh-huh.
And they're curious because we're such a different consciousness, or we express our consciousness through our form so differently than they do or don't. So they don't cry, and they don't have emotions like us. So, you know, it's a matter of, in any relationship you have, I don't care if it's with an alien, if it's with a guy, it doesn't matter, or a person who has passed on in transition, you need to still create the rules, the
right.
boundaries, because these are relationships with people,
right.
regardless
exactly.
if they have a form or not, or what kind of form that they have or don't have.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, you're still in control, or at least you should be. And you shouldn't
yes.
be intimidated or frightened
uh-huh.
or dominated or used
right.
or violated by anything,
right.
anybody,
right.
no matter what, right?
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
So
I agree.
I'm going to take that Me Too to a whole nother level.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Well, Clementina, we're running out of time with the interview, so where can people find your book and where can they find you? If they choose we could have talked for hours about this stuff.
Well, we'll do it again.
Yes.
Yeah, the best way to always reach me, my books, my private sessions, all kinds of things that I offer to help people are all I put in one library on my website, and that's www.spiritualwisdomtv.com, spiritualwisdomtv.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It's a pleasure. It really is. It was awesome just talking to you and just relating. It's great. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. I look forward to talking with you again.
Definitely. And this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. May the angels carry you through. Have a good night.